The reading can be found on page 1042 in the Pew Bibles, 1042, under the heading, The Parable of the Good Samaritan, Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse 25. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." Amen. Thanks be to God. This is another of the stories that we find only in Luke's gospel. It's like the prodigal son, or Jesus in the house of Martha and Mary, the road to Emmaus, only in Luke. The Good Samaritan, it's so familiar. And perhaps too familiar to have the impact Jesus meant it to have, because we're comfortable with it. Too familiar to have the impact that it would have had on the Jews who listened to it. Oh, excuse me. And one Jew in particular, the lawyer, who wanted to find out how good a teacher Jesus was. Too familiar perhaps to take in the significance of Jesus' words at the end, "Go and do likewise." Their words aimed at each and every one who wants to be an active part of God's kingdom. So this is our chance to take another look at these familiar words and to think about what Jesus is saying to us today about our behavior, if we want to be counted as true Christians, as true followers of Jesus. We're not trying to buy eternal life. We can't do that. God gives us that from his grace. But we're responding to that grace by trying to do his will and keep his commandments. The lawyer asked Jesus who his neighbor was. The neighbor he was supposed to love as he loved himself. And Jesus' way of answering was to tell a story. It would be a very relevant story to the people who were listening. The road from Jerusalem to Jericho was notorious. It dropped 3,000 feet in less than 20 miles. It was narrow, it was rocky, it was winding. It was the sort of place that you see in Western films, where the gang is hiding high up in the rocks, looking down, waiting to ambush the posse of men who are carrying the wages. Just when they get to the narrowest bit, everything happens. It's just like that. And apparently, as recently as the 19th century, if you wanted to go from Jerusalem to Jericho, then if you were sensible, you paid safety money to the local sheikhs. Jesus' story was about a man traveling on his own, which would probably leave his hearers saying, well, he was asking for it, wasn't he? Traveling down that road on his own, stupid thing to do. How often do you hear people saying, perhaps you say it yourself, oh, they brought it on themselves, didn't they? As if that means they're not in need of help. This lone traveler was robbed and was well beaten up. Jesus said he was half dead. Along came a priest, but he didn't linger. He knew that if he touched this man and he turned out to be dead, then he would be declared unclean for 7 days, wouldn't be able to do anything. That was the law. He was a busy man, he had lots to do. Lots of things to get on with in the synagogue. He must get on with his work. I can see myself here, not as a priest, but somebody who always has lots of things to do that are very important. You can use it as an excuse. So the priest rushed on. And then there was a Levite, somebody else involved in religious work. He would know the rules too about touching dead people. He didn't linger either. Far too risky. You see, the robbers could still have been around. I mean, sometimes people left a decoy pretending to be dead so that people would go and see what was wrong with them. And as soon as they got there, they were ambushed again. Very dangerous. Far too risky to get involved. You hear that excuse an awful lot today. Too risky. People can be violent. People can be rude, unpleasant. People carry knives. Better not risk it. And the Levite rushed on. Everybody listening to Jesus would be waiting for the third person. He probably thought the third one would be an ordinary Jew after the priest and the Levite. And Jesus said, there was a Samaritan. Perhaps he was a traveling salesman. Seemed to have a good reputation because the innkeeper knew him, trusted him. Shock, horror, a Samaritan? Jews did not have anything to do with Samaritans. It's difficult for us to realize, you know, the effect it would have on them. Oh, Samaritan. But the Samaritan took pity on this half-dead Jew, dealt with his wounds, bound him up, put him on his donkey, took him to the inn. And then he went further. He looked after him overnight. And then he left enough money for several weeks in the inn. And promised to pay any more if he had to. That Jew would be forever indebted to the Samaritan for saving him from death. The lawyer had asked Jesus who his neighbor was. Jesus didn't answer that. He asked a different question. It's just like the politicians, isn't it? You ask them a question and they turn it round because they want to get their message over. So Jesus asks the lawyer, which man was neighbor to the one who fell among thieves? And the lawyer has to admit that it was the one who had mercy on him. Notice he couldn't even bear to say the Samaritan. He didn't voice that. The one who had mercy on him. And Jesus says, go and do likewise. It was a clear enough indication to the lawyer that his neighbor was anybody in need, whether or not he was a Jew, whoever he was. It's interesting that today is Racial Justice Sunday. It's a Sunday when we're asked to pray for the breaking down of barriers between different races. The barriers are still strong today, not least between the Jews and the Palestinians. Jesus would have none of this. We're called to love those in need. But this isn't just a story about the Jews and their neighbors. Jesus is speaking to anybody who wants some guidance on how to keep God's law. He's speaking to us. And he wants action. The young man knew the two most important commandments, to love God, to love his neighbor as himself. He has them in his phylactery, on his forehead or his wrist, you know, the little boxes that Orthodox Jews carry, words from Deuteronomy, Leviticus. He would have them right there. And Jesus commends him for knowing them, but sends him out. You've answered correctly. Do this, and you will live. And when he answers correctly again, the one who had mercy on him, Jesus sends him out again. Go, do likewise. Action's needed. Compassion is not enough. We have a wonderful example in Jesus himself. We often hear that Jesus had compassion on the people that he saw. But it didn't stop there. He did something about it. He healed the leper, opened the eyes of the blind, healed the centurion's servant, healed the Canaanite woman's daughter. And ultimately, Jesus gave his life to save the lost, like you and me. All stemming from the love of God for the needy. There's a lovely hymn in our hymn book called There's a Wideness in God's Mercy. And it has these lines. There is no place where earth's failings have such kindly judgment given. For the love of God is broader than the grasp of mortal mind, and the heart of the eternal is most wonderfully kind. And we are called to have love like God's love. People who don't know the Bible, don't know the story of the Good Samaritan, will still call people who come to the aid of others Good Samaritans. But to understand the radical nature of Jesus' teaching, you need to understand why the story was told and why it would have such impact at the time. You see, the lawyer would see himself as the equivalent of the priest or the Levite, you know, a professional person who knew the law, who had a busy life. But here was Jesus challenging him not to be like his peers, but to be like a Samaritan. Somebody he normally wouldn't go anywhere near, certainly wouldn't eat with or speak to or touch. Challenging him to be like an outsider. He's got to go beyond himself, do something risky. How are we to see this story today? Vincent Donovan, a Jesuit priest who lived for many years among the Maasai people in Africa, worked very hard to put the gospel of Jesus into language that these people could understand. You see, the pictures that Jesus created in the parables weren't pictures that the Maasai people could relate to. But translated into a different context, they made sense. They captured Jesus' radical message, and the Maasai were bowled over. The story's told in his book, Christianity Rediscovered, wonderful book. But after that, Vincent Donovan returned to the United States to preach the gospel to the people of New York. And he asked himself how the parable of the Good Samaritan could be told to them to capture its full force. And this is what he wrote. You might have heard this, but I find it's equally moving every time I read it. Once upon a time, not long ago, a young girl was making her way home from work very late at night. She'd almost reached home when suddenly a man jumped out of the bushes and began attacking her. She fought back, screamed for help, but he pulled out a knife. He stabbed her. Twice she broke away from him and ran, but he caught up with her. She continued to struggle, to cry aloud for help. This went on for half an hour. Her screams for help were heard in all the nearby apartment buildings. Some people actually looked out of the window and saw her fighting for her life. One man was tempted to go down to her aid, but was sorely afraid for his life and didn't go. Another woman heard her cry and saw her struggle and was going to call the police, but was reluctant to get involved in the official questioning. It would be nice to be able to say that someone finally went to help her and saved her life, but that's not true. The truth is that 36 people heard or saw Kitty Genovese screaming for help that night in New York City, and not one came to her aid by so much as a phone call to the police. Not one. And she was killed. In the story of the Good Samaritan, as told with an American accent, the answer to the question, who was a neighbor to Kitty Genovese, is there was no Good Samaritan. Nobody wanted to get involved. I want us to set ourselves three challenges today from all this. The first is to rewrite this parable for our own society, for ourselves. Who will be the victim? Who will be the man on the road? Will it be a single mom struggling to cope with two young children? Will it be one of the homeless people on the streets of our city? Will it be somebody you read about on the charity appeal leaflet that comes through your door? Will it be an old person who's desperately lonely? Who will it be? There are all sorts of possibilities. The second challenge is to think who the priest and the Levite might be in this modern day tale. Perhaps there are more than two. What are these people's excuses? What would Jesus say to them? They brought it on themselves. Does that matter? They need help. It's too big a problem. I can't help with that. Or I'm not able. What about prayer? Bring them before God. I don't have the time or the abilities or the money. In other words, what I have to do with my time, my abilities, my money is more important. Is that really true? I don't want to get involved because it's too risky. In other words, I must look after myself. love your neighbor as yourself. The third challenge, the big one, is to ask ourselves if we could be the Samaritan in the story, the outsider, who didn't seem to have any of these thoughts and excuses. The Samaritan who went the extra mile, who spent time helping the wounded man, who risked ambush and robbery himself, who walked to the inn to safety with the man on his donkey, who was generous with money for future care. Jesus said, go and do likewise. Let's pray. Lord, teach us to love as Jesus loved. Take away the self-centeredness which prevents us from seeing who is in need. Take away the excuses that come so readily. Give us eyes to see how we can help, a will to take action, a heart to act with love. Where our hearts are willing, but our bodies are weak, give us the perseverance to pray and to keep on praying. Lord, we want to follow Jesus. We want to keep those commandments he told us were all important, but it isn't easy. Help us to be better Christians. In Jesus' name we pray.